And welcome back to the Hawk Talk Podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Matt Campbell. Matt and I have known each other for a handful of years now. We met through the WordPress local meetup group. I've been hosting it. He's been attending and speaking and a little bit of all of that. So I'm stoked to have him on the show today to talk about his website, actually, and some fun stuff around it. So welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks, John, for having me on your worldwide podcast.
Yes, worldwide. I think that only means that I had one person in another country listen once, but we'll call it worldwide. I like that. World famous. That's what it is. So
world famous.
So you have a website, myweddingsongs.com, and you have been coming to the meetup, and basically, I mean, I kind of feel like you've been building it through the meetup for years. How long have you been at it?
So I started in 2003. That's incredible. I can't believe it's been 16 years already.
All right. So longer than the meetup, but okay.
Yeah. Longer than, I think I started, I actually started the bloggers meetup, I think in 2011 timeframe. Yeah. And then they started talking about, hey, you need to have WordPress. And I'm like, well, I'm on Joomla. What's WordPress?
Oh, interesting. So you started on Joomla.
Fun. Yes.
How was that?
It was pretty easy because I had, the Dreamweaver software and yeah, it was pretty easy.
Yeah. Back in the day, I kind of tried a little bit of every blogging platform that there was, Joomla being one of them. I never really actually launched a Drupal site, but, whatever. So the interesting part about this is you've been at this kind of a long time and your site has kind of really skyrocketed in popularity.
As they say, the hockey stick effect.
Yeah. And now, so how long ago did the hockey stick start turning?
Well, I actually was in the past. I spent 14 years as a electronic component distributor purchasing manager for 14 years. And then I said, you know what, if I'm going to grow this website, I need to get in the industry. So in 2014, I actually became a SEO specialist as a web developer because I have built my website and they're willing to take a chance on me. And it's a smaller company. I took a chance on them. And then I started at that at 2014. So I started learning SEO. And then things started to creep up. And then in 2017, I decided that, you know, Wedding Museum is a terrible name. People can't spell museum. 90% of our traffic was going to the song lists, and let's make the switch from Wedding Museum to My Wedding Songs. And that was January of 2017. And it just skyrocketed from there.
Wow. You know, I'm going to actually back up for just a second because I want to kind of set the tone for what I kind of want to talk about in this overall podcast episode, which is, people like the idea of making money and everyone's like, oh, all you need is a blog. You just start blogging, you know, find what you're passionate about and just start blogging. And oh my God, the money is going to just roll in. And I don't think that they really have an understanding of what that really takes. Like content marketing is no joke. You just said you started like 12, 13, 14 years ago. And then after 10 of those years, you basically threw out what you had done and started from scratch, but with all of the knowledge. But that's 10 years of knowledge that you brought to the table.
Right.
So
it's funny. I'm a part of a group now that's all bloggers. And not in the local area. It's actually part of the ad network. And that's probably one of the number one questions. How do we grow fast? And we're all saying, okay, we really saw growth after 500 posts. Yeah. And you're saying, okay, 500 posts and you only want to do one post a week. How long is that going to take to get to 500 posts? If you're serious, then you need to be need to be posting every single day.
Yeah.
And then you get to 500 to two in about 2 years, then you'll be probably a success after 2 years.
And when you're talking about blogging every single day, I mean, you're talking about basically staying on brand, staying on topic, in your lane. That's not just junk posts, which is something that I really wanted to, I went through quite a few of your blog posts in prep for this show. And I mean, your blog posts are no joke. These are well thought out, well researched, deep, deep content. I mean, and that's big.
So on the side of that is, who am I competing against? So The Knot and Wedding Wire just joined forces. So they're probably now a $1 billion company. You have brides.com, you have Martha Stewart Weddings. You have all of these high authority domain websites that I have to compete against as one person. So definitely one of the authorities in the SEO world is Brian Dean, and his philosophy is the skyscraper effect, meaning your blog posts have to be 10 times better than everybody else in order to rank on those topics, because you're competing against domain authorities that are comparable to CNN and these high authority sites. So,
wow.
And it's becoming more difficult.
And you have a job. Like, this isn't your full-time gig. Like, you're not doing this. You're not just writing a blog post and hanging out on the couch all day.
No. Yes. So it's funny. I actually had another website that I created. It was songlistdb.com for songlist database, trying to take that from IMDb. And so I spent, I think it was at least 6 months. I wrote an article every single day. I was determined to do it every single day. Mm-hmm. But the theme of the website was top song lists by musicians. So I did that for 6 months. And then researching a lot. So when we changed it to My Wedding Songs, I just incorporated all of that content into my site and shut down that URL. And then just 301 redirected all of those URLs to my, it wasn't just redirect everything to the homepage. It was, if your song list was Aerosmith's top songs .com. Then it was 301 to that specific page on My Wedding Songs.
And that's key. That's got to be just.
It was. Yep.
Go ahead.
And the same thing for Wedding Museum. It was URL to URL match 301.
Yeah.
And that's how we were able to keep our domain authority when we switched over in 2017. That was a long process. I don't recommend anybody doing that. Have a great URL to begin with. But like you were saying, yeah, that content for that 6 months, it's invaluable.
Yeah, for sure. So you have a job. So how much time are you putting into this? Like, how much time do what's an average blog post take you?
Average blog post takes at least, I'm going to say, 3 hours.
Yeah.
At minimum. And then, but the thing is, so I have what I call my core top 50 wedding song lists. Mm-hmm. So you're talking first dance songs, but then I'm also the 80s best wedding songs by genre. So R&B wedding, there's 50 of them. And in the past, it takes about 6 weeks to update all of those song lists. But at least I want to make sure that those are being updated at least once a year. Mm-hmm. So I just finished it last week because we were at a conference this week. I said, I have to get these done before the conference when everybody's going to the site.
Right.
It took literally 10 weeks to get through all of it.
Wow.
And and like you're saying, or as you're asking, yes, it does. It takes probably another 40 hours a week when you're, my thing is to work on the business, not in the business all the time. So trying to figure out where we're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is one of those things where, you know, I don't think people really get what it takes. And, you know, Chris Lemma. Do you know the name Chris Lemma?
Yes.
I figured you would. Of course you would. So Chris Lemma is a guy I've known through the WordPress community for quite a long time. And he kind of famously made a bit of a big splash, kind of like his entry into the WordPress community was. I mean, he was already in the community, but he decided to start writing. And he wrote a blog post every single day. And like you, they were well thought out, deep content. And he basically showed that exact same thing where it was like, you know, that big flat, you know, traffic. And then all of a sudden, a couple of them start to get picked up and then they start to get a little popular and then he starts ranking. And then, you know, you start to see the fruits of the labor. Can you talk a little bit about what your traffic looked like and now looks like and what that transition was for you?
I actually have a great story about that. So as you know, I started in 2003 and then this little thing called Penguin came out in 2008. And so I was doing about 92,000 visitors a month in 2008. And I had a contract with a legal provider of lyrics, LyricFind. They're still around. They're probably one of the well-known. They actually provide lyrics to Google now. And I had lyrics, over 2,000 pages of song lyrics on our website. And Google, when they came out with Penguin, said, "Hey, look at all of this duplicate content." Yeah. Oh. So that 92,000 went to about 23,000. And so, yeah, overnight, that was the scary part.
So, okay, let me ask you, right then, when that happens, like, you don't necessarily know do you know exactly what it's tied to? Or do you just, like, wake up one morning and you're like, what the hell happened to my website?
Well, I wasn't in SEO. Yes, I woke up and said, what happened to my website? Wow. And so it probably took 4 years of low traffic. And I didn't know what was going on. And then as I was researching it and thought I was learning SEO just from reading blogs and whatnot, then I said, okay, I'm cutting ties with LyricFind. I need to, what I could have done is just no index the pages, you know, looking back to 2020, that's fine.
But yeah, sure.
You know, I just cut ties and got rid of the pages. And then I started to see traffic going up a little bit.
Which, there you go. That's another interesting little tidbit, which is it's not all just pushing out content. There's also that pruning and cleaning of your content that is, I've been hearing a lot about that more and more lately as being a really key element.
Yeah, actually last week I deleted about 60 pages that got one visit in 3 months. I said, why even have it? Because then Google's looking at it. Okay, now your core pages are getting that much more visibility.
Interesting. So when you are, as you're going through and you're deleting those pages, are you like redirecting those just in case?
Yep. I'm redirecting because this is the great part. This is back when I was trying to be competing against the big guys. I had all of this wedding planning content. So how do you make beautiful wedding hair, you know, how to hire a photographer, all of these things. And I had bloggers submit their articles as well. And so when I did that, all of those are wedding planning articles. So I just redirected them all to the wedding planning blog category.
Yeah.
Because that's still great. Exists.
That's great. So from the blogging side, are you doing this all yourself? Is it just you?
So I actually finally found one content writer that he writes one blog post for me a week. And because the last 10 months, that's really what I've been focusing on is updating the existing content and our, basically those 50 song lists are probably 80% of our traffic. And so I finally found a writer. Well, if I'm concentrating on this, he's writing one article a week for me. I sub that out. And then I also have family and friends help out with creating the Spotify lists, but everything that's on the site technical, yes, I'm doing it all. If I'm running the managed WP, I'm running, you know, this the security, everything behind the scenes.
So there you go. That is another interesting little bit in all of this. You're obviously, you're not a brick and mortar. You are a online only. So aside from all of the content and aside from pages and the pruning and all of that, you still have to run a website. And you said that you use WordPress, and WordPress makes changes. They just recently made a gigantic change with the way that they, the content editor, the Gutenberg. So how does that play? Like from the technical side, how much effort is coming at you there?
That's interesting. So I actually have a template that I use, or a theme that I use that is a page builder. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that, you know, just like many web developers, if you're using a page builder, even if it's built into the theme and you decide to change your theme, then you basically lose your website. So yeah. I've actually changed everything to, because I know HTML, a lot of the pages now are just HTML.
Wow.
And I'm not using Gutenberg. Well, yeah, I'm not using Gutenberg because I'm still using the classic editor. And then for the song list pages, then I'm using a plugin for that.
Gotcha.
And I actually will give a little hint for that too. So there's two main table plugins that people use, and I've used both of them. So I thought, what a great idea, where you could automatically link from Google Sheets right to your website through the plugin. Mm-hmm. I was thinking throughout the site, if I have any song that I want to update or misspelled, I could just do a mass find and replace on Google Sheets.
Right.
Yes. But then there's sometimes a real lag between Google Sheets and the website. And then sometimes I'd go to one of my key pages and it says, no results found.
Oh.
Okay. So we're going to be changing. Now we're importing the CSV into the website those tables.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the testing of all of this, like when you're doing testing of your site, you have to be thinking about it from like 5,000 different angles, I'm assuming. I mean, you've got to be thinking about like the navigation that somebody is like, how are they going to land on your homepage and get to where they want? And then how is that going to, like any changes that you'll make? How's Google going to take to those? Where does that all fit? Like, I mean, is that like are you basically kind of frozen by fear of making changes, I guess?
I used to be until I started with Managed WP, because I know within the click of a button, I can revert back. Mm-hmm. But if it's a major change, so like Gutenberg going to 5, then I have a staging site where I'm testing it just to make sure that the site's not going to break.
Sure. So, I mean, that's you're talking about like updating a plugin or maybe updating a theme, et cetera. But what I'm getting at is, let's say that you come up with the idea that you want to add a new section to your site or add something new that's kind of big. Like, what is your kind of testing process for that? So like, how do you launch something like that? And then just like, you know, are you eagle eye stalking the, your Google stats, Google Analytics?
I look at my stats every single day for, you know, the daily visitors and whatnot, just to make sure. And then I have a Google Sheet that I actually overwhelmed everybody at a WordPress meetup saying, hey, these are the numbers that I'm checking every month.
Yeah.
Spending my 3 hours once a month doing that.
I remember that spreadsheet.
I've actually shrunk it down quite a bit. It's like, why do I need all these numbers? Yeah. But I can tell you that, what was I going to say? Oh, so an example would be, we had to, now I have a pop-up for people to subscribe.
Yeah.
So then now I'm looking at, okay, what's the bounce rate after I add it? How many subscribers am I getting? Then on exactly what you're saying on the main menu, now we have a subscribe button or the download, we have a PDF that people can download that has mm-hmm. all of our 50 song lists on a PDF. And that's been a huge lead magnet for us.
That's great.
So then we're tracking of, okay, how they're subscribing and just watching the numbers.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so tied in along with all of that traffic that's coming in, I mean, traffic is great, but traffic doesn't keep the lights on. Actually, depending on where you're hosting, I mean, traffic can be a gigantic cost. How do you turn that gigantic pile of traffic into money?
So I'll get back to a question that I kind of skipped before. You're talking about traffic. So I'm going to say before 2014, we were doing, let's say, 30,000 a month. I can't remember the exact numbers. And then things really started taking off as I implemented SEO. So I could say probably before we launched the website, maybe we were changed over to My Wedding Songs, mm-hmm. probably doing about 100,000 a month, I would say. And now we're out of wedding season right now, but I was just looking, we're at about 370,000 visitors the last 30 days.
Wow.
Like you were saying, okay, I don't know if you want me to say, but yes,
that's fine.
We're on a respectable hosting company. Like you said, it's not, people don't realize that. Yeah. Traffic is expensive.
Yeah. So you go out, your whole goal is to build up traffic. And the more you build up traffic, oh crap, this is costing me more money.
Yeah. I've been on bad hosts where they're saying, okay, you're bringing too much traffic. We're shutting you down if something doesn't change. And it's like, okay, wow. I got to change hosting companies.
So how do you now turn that traffic into money?
Okay, so two ways. I'll start with the main one, because Amazon Associates is by far probably the most popular affiliate program that's out there. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, okay, you're going to, in order to listen and download the song, we send people to Amazon. And that's actually a benefit for DJs. I don't want to send people to YouTube where now the DJ can't get a legitimate copy of the song, or they send them to Spotify and then they have the same thing. So I actually prefer to go to Amazon, but I used to send them to iTunes. So great. Out of that dollar song, I'm making 8 cents.
Wow.
Okay, that sounds fine. I'm selling X ten thousands of songs a month. That's okay. But if you send them to Amazon, somebody mentioned to me in a meetup, we'll just put them in the cart. Well, if you put somebody in the cart, then you get, it's not 24 hours credit. It's longer. I think it's up to 3 days. But if you send somebody to the cart, they can't listen to it. So I prefer just to send them to the page. Mm-hmm. But then anything they buy within 24 hours, there's other stipulations, but let's just say 24 hours, anything they buy within 24 hours, we get credit for. But people have to realize almost 40% of all purchases online are done on Amazon.
Yeah.
So what else is already in their cart? What other books, you know, we're talking weddings, they're buying bridesmaid gowns, they're buying candles, whatever else is in their cart. We're getting credit for all of that stuff.
Wow.
But that's actually only a third of our revenue. So the one good thing is my big tip, here's a good one for bloggers to strive for. And that is to reach 50,000 sessions a month. So up until that 50,000, you're on Google AdSense. You're probably mm-hmm. making $3 a thousand visitors. Once you hit 50,000 and you're a professional blogger, have a professional website, you can join an ad network called Mediavine. And it's an approval process. But Mediavine, I'm going to say on average, this is a widespread depending on what industry that you're in. Of course, if you're financial, it's huge numbers how much you can make. But I'm going to say between $10 and $25 per thousand visitors. and you're talking $3, that's to go from $3 to, say, even if you're going from 3 to 15, that's life changing when you're talking 300,000 visitors a month.
Wow. That's big. So when you start seeing that first bump in traffic, then that's really the time to kind of put the pedal to the metal and and get there.
You figured, let's say it's 10, just to keep the numbers round, you know, you're talking 300,000 visitors a month times $10, that's $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's a significant, I mean, that's the somebody's full-time job, could be somebody's full-time job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man. So let's kind of talk about some of the, I mean, you have to have ups and downs in this, right? I mean, you lost a crap ton of traffic for 4 years. Has there been anything where, well, let's talk about the good first, because it's always fun to talk about the good. Has there ever been anything where you're like, I'll try this out, I don't know if it's going to be any good, and then it just kind of like went gangbusters and it just blew your mind?
Just having the download the PDF.
Yeah.
That's blown me away. We get about 300 subscribers a month now just from that PDF. It's wow. Like, holy cow, why didn't we do this from day one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. So
you're in a really interesting niche though, because you know, once somebody gets married, they're kind of married. So they're not necessarily coming back. But do you, I mean, you have good content, you have amazing content, and you've got amazing lists of music and stuff like that. So are you able to kind of continue a relationship with these folks maybe after the wedding has happened?
That is a great question. And I've had a very hard time with that, because we're just signing up for our first bridal show. And so to answer that question, no, we don't have any relationships with the brides and the grooms after the fact. Mm-hmm. My focus has been on DJs and wedding planners, because their connections, an average DJ may do 50 to 100 weddings. One specific DJ, we're not going to talk about a company, maybe do between 50 and 100 weddings a year. A wedding planner may do 50 to 100 weddings a year. So that's why we're connecting. I actually just went to the wedding MBA this week, and it's connecting with them, because then they can spread the word to all of their customers, and I don't have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas for me doing a bridal show, I know how much I make per visitor, and I will never get ROI from just one bride. We're in Vegas, so there could be 800 brides. I'm not going to get ROI if every bride came to my website what it costs for the booth. But for me, we're doing it to get feedback from the brides, because that's the only connection we're going to have with them, because we're a website. I don't know what they're thinking, or to get feedback from them.
Yeah. All right. I do like that you've kind of shifted your, like, who you're going after as far as the connections. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think that's kind of goes back to the very beginning of this, which is, you know, you have to kind of know what you're getting into, and understand that, you know, you kind of got to learn along the way. So has there been something where you have thought it was like a sure thing? You're like, oh, here we go. Found
yes.
it. Here's the golden arrow. We're going to just shoot this and everything. It's going to just be great. And then it just sucked.
Spent 3 months on an idea of, well, actually, I'm going to bring up two. So we relaunched as My Wedding Songs in January, and in June, we said, what a great idea. We have all this traffic. We're just going to have people pay to see the content. So we're just going to show just like a Wall Street Journal. We're going to show mm-hmm. part of the page, and then you're going to have to pay to see the rest of it. And Google says, you know what? We can't see your page, so we're just not going to show you on Google.
Oh.
There's an answer from Google.
Hey, so Google's trying to give me an answer.
That's very nice of him. Yeah. That's funny. Oh, wow. So you're trying to monetize it, and then they're just like, oh, that's great, but we're just not going to send you any traffic to monetize at all.
Right, because they can't see the content anymore. Right. They can only see half of it. Oh, gosh. So we've learned that if you ever do that, make sure it's content that doesn't already exist on the website. That's the first one. And then the second one was I spent 3 months on a fantastic idea of let's have pre-made wedding song lists by genres. So everything, so if you love country, you love rock, you love R&B, whatever, I think we had five different genres. We had everything. So if you want the cutting of the cake song, the first dance song, you pay $10, you have a complete playlist for your wedding. It was, I think it was 80 songs. So you have 80 songs right there. Wow. So I spent probably 3 months just because I have to create, it was five playlists. Launched it on the website after, I think, 2 weeks with the, you know, with the large traffic, we probably sold five. It's like, I don't think this is working very well.
And we need to get rid of it. Right. And when you're kind of on this new thing like that, you know, you're probably splashing that like all over the homepage and like it's it's the big thing.
Facebook ads, everything. Come check this out.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I love that you are, you have to try these things, right? I mean, you have to just be trying what's new and just kind of figuring it out. And you don't get, I mean, you're going to get burned by some stuff, obviously, but you can't let that be the thing that's just like, oh, well, I'm not going to try anything else new. Like it's, you got to always be looking at what the next idea is.
Mark Cuban has a famous quote, and that is, you only have to be right once. Yeah. So my thing is moving forward, because I'm going to get into podcasting. I'm going to get into video marketing. Heavy on YouTube. I'm definitely going to try both of those, and I've already told myself I'm going to try both of those maybe for 6 months. If they both fail, fine, then I'm going to quit. But if one, can you imagine if one of them takes off? Like, yeah, that's huge.
That is absolutely. So outside of my wedding songs, what other stuff do you do? Or do you have other like web-based interests that you kind of dive into as well?
No, that's all my time online. Yeah. So on the weekends, the wife and I like to go to the movies. We're huge movie buffs. And then the other thing is I'm a huge baseball fan. So we actually try to go, our goal is to see every baseball park in the United States, or, you know, all the baseball parks, because that includes Canada too.
Sure.
And we're at, I think we're at about 16, 17 now.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can just start blogging about that and turn that into another, no. Let's not.
I'm not going back, so, to take pictures and everything.
But here's an interesting thing, which is, I mean, this is one of those things where you could, in theory, do this from anywhere, right? I mean, all you really need, for the most part, is your laptop and whatever you're comfortable with and some time to write. Yes?
You know, that's the greatest thing about having a passive income website. Yep, we can work anywhere.
Yeah. So I've been working from home for a decade now. Actually almost a decade exactly. Ooh, wow. Weird. And you know, people always talk about that. They're like, oh, you work from home. That's fantastic. Cause you know, if you're working remote, you can work from wherever you want. I will tell you that I work at my desk about 95% of the time. I have a very hard time kind of going outside of that. So I don't know, does that work for you? Are you able to actually get productive stuff done not at your desk?
So I because I have my daytime job, so that way when I come home, I'm always focused on what I'm doing. So I, you know, I'm unlike you, I still have connections at work and talk to people at work. But yeah. If I was working full time at home, yes, definitely the cat was already scratching at the door and meowing trying to get in. And yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic of, I definitely will be going to, if I were to work full time at home, it would be because I can do that with my daytime job too, I'd be going out to more meetups for sure, just to have that human connection.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's how we ended up meeting, was through the meetup. And I'm assuming that obviously you come to the meetup and you don't just take from the meetup. You provide a lot of information, which is, I don't even know if our community really fully grasps the amount of great knowledge that you bring to it, which is great. And it's not just when you present. One of the reasons why I really enjoy having you in our community is you like to learn. And so you do a lot of research, but when you come to the meetup, you come with some good questions, and then you have good follow-up where you'll bring that knowledge back and say, hey, I did this thing. We talked about it 2 months ago. And you know, now I want to maybe even do a presentation about it. And I just saw that, like the MBA thing that you went to the other day, like you spoke at that as well. Yes.
Right. That was huge for me. So it's only a 10-minute talk, and mm-hmm. and I just didn't want to be one of those people where I'm talking 10 minutes about my business. Yeah. I'd rather give back to the community. So I'm like, well, what am I going to talk about? There's a very well-known, you know, Fortune 500 company there that talked at the conference, and he always talks about SEO. And I'm like, well, I can, you know, what he's going more in depth. Let me talk about basic SEO. So let me just talk. I only have 10 minutes. Let me talk about how to optimize page titles and page descriptions. So this is hilarious. I'm going over there, and I'm all nervous. There's 5,500 attendees, but we're just in a small speaker area, probably holding maybe 50 people. I'm mm-hmm. going to say probably 50. And so I'm sitting there, two people before me. I'm like, okay, this is about Scottish weddings. There's probably 20 people in the audience. I'm like, okay, this will be good. Not anybody's here to listen to me. So the next person comes up, you know, there's probably 30 people now. Okay, cool. But they're running behind. So I'm standing behind, so I don't see what's going on in front. And then the person right before me ends, and then the IT guy comes back and says, okay, yeah, the people are starting to show up now. Okay, great. So I get up there. I'm hooking up the computer. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I look up and it's standing room. It's like, oh, okay, what happened here? I guess everybody really, because not a lot of people talked about SEO except those three talks by the main guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to learn. And it's funny. Yeah, it was great. It turned out really good, and got feedback, and people are coming back to my booth saying, hey, we want to hire you for SEO. No, like we were saying, I work a daytime job, 40 hours, a nighttime 40 hours. I will tell you what to do, but you're going to do the work.
Yeah.
And then everybody's awesome. Like, well, if I got to do the work, then the heck with you.
So let me ask you, as we get kind of close to the end here, somebody starting off, mm-hmm. let's say we're at the meetup and somebody says, Matt, I love what you're doing. I don't want to jump into weddings, but I want to do this and I want to do this full time. What do you tell them? Obviously, we already talked about blogging every day. What are your initial tips? Like, what do you say you should do to get going?
First things first, you have to know SEO, because you want to have it right the first time and not have to go back. So SEO, I would be going to meetups in your area for SEO, and I would follow the Moz's Whiteboard Friday, go back and look at their past videos. I would be looking at backlinko.com. Brian Dean has a great site. There's a lot of authority, and Neil Patel is another guy to follow. Mm-hmm. All of the these guys have great content. And I'm sure there's women too. I know that Marie Haynes is awesome in the field as well. So just follow and learn, because try to do it right, because having to go back after the fact, it's just double the work. Do it right the first time.
I hate double work.
And you know, just like you were saying, it's, you have to be passionate about it. You know, I don't want to write about wedding songs every single day or once a week or even once a month. I'd like to break out from that. So that's why we broke out into, let's write articles with words in the song title. So if a lot of people search for, let's say, train songs, or they're looking for bridge songs, or they're looking for songs with love in the title, that was huge for us. And that way we're not writing all about weddings all the time.
Yeah.
And then we're writing about musician top songs. So it's you're just finding something that you love to write about. A lot of food bloggers, you know, and then the biggest thing I could say is niche down to something that you love. You have to find that niche. You can't say, hey, I'm going to be a food blogger. It's just too broad. That's like me saying I'm going to go after wedding planning. I'd rather you say, hey, I'm going to be a paleo food blogger, or, keto food blogger, or you have to niche down to something that, specific.
That's awesome. That is great. Great feedback. I appreciate it. Anything else you want to drop? There's so much knowledge. It's not even fair. You've just been at it so long. You have so much built-in knowledge. We have to get you talking at the meetup more often. That's really what we have to do. Any last things you want to throw out?
Okay, so my plug is, if you know anybody getting married and they're looking for their wedding songs,
mywedding.com. I think we drop it right there. Matt, thank you so much. Super interesting, super knowledge, just so much good info. I really appreciate it. mywedding.com, and I'll see you at the meetup.
All right. Thanks, John. See you soon.